Mama.
Maman.
Mom.
Mommy.
Mommy.
This is Mother Mine, reflections on our mothers and how they've shaped us from ordinary people across the globe. 1. Actions.
When we referred to her, we always called her my mother, until we moved to California and everyone used to refer to their mothers as my mom. And it took me a long time to refer to her as my mom. It seemed too casual. She was my mother. She was fierce before the word was popular about mothers, fiercely committed to doing the right thing. Her actions spoke very loudly of her emotions, which were very hidden. But I remember her fierce commitment to us five children, to my dad, and to her parents, whom she cared for as they got older, even though her mother preferred her son over my mother. I always think of my mom when I sense someone isn't being genuine. She had a real knack of almost a sixth sense for detecting when someone wasn't being real. And she always had a comment about that. Or just a look. Usually the look. She had a sarcastic sense of humor. Very dry. And this little smirky smile that when she cracked a joke. Never heard her belly laugh, actually. And rarely saw her smile or cry. She challenged my realness when I showed emotions because she wasn't allowed to show emotion. She wasn't allowed to show anger. She wasn't allowed to show tears. So when I showed those things as a child, she made me think I was making them up. I was acting. I saw my mother as a person mostly through her sickness and her death. I saw her struggle to breathe. I saw her struggle, though she couldn't talk, I saw her struggle with being cared for in the most intimate of ways, being changed, being cleaned up in the hospital bed, having her respiratory therapist suction her lungs. She was quite helpless and couldn't talk because she was on a ventilator. When she was in the hospital and I was pregnant with my son, my sister visited her. And my mom, taking a pen in her hand, she wrote shower on the piece of paper and looked at my sister like, you better give Renee a shower for the baby. That speaks to me a lot about her commitment and her love through action, even when she was suffering so deeply. I also saw her struggle as a person with anger, holding anger in at all times. Except for when she did explode. I saw her wrestle with her mother. I never knew why their relationship was so icy cold, and how warm and wonderful it was with her father, whom she would sew with and talk with and bake with and cook with. I know she wanted me to be committed. She wanted me to be faithful. She wanted me to be strong, just by her example, but we never talked about her dreams for me. When I was dreaming and studying to be an opera singer before my injury, she approved of that. She was so happy for me. I know she was. She sewed my dresses. She supported me at my recitals. And that's one of the only times I saw her smile that big. And then when I married my husband, John, she was so happy for me. And I saw her smile. My mother means strength to me. She means commitment. She means love through action. I'll always love her and remember her for those things. And although I wish I could have been closer to her emotionally, I realize now why she had a hard time with that because of her own upbringing. I was 7 months pregnant as I stood at her graveside and I saw her urn go into the ground. And I saw, hear her humanity in a different way. At that time, I was holding life and I was watching her be buried at the same time.
2. Clash.
She is my mom and I
feel an obligation to say that everything about her is great. The same way that when anyone passes, you want to say that they had an amazing life, they were great. But my mom has a lot of negative qualities that I consciously make an effort to note down so that I can avoid doing those things. So one of the biggest things is this closed-minded mindset. We have a lot of arguments about certain values. She grew up in a traditional Chinese household and she carries that with her into this household. I have a very westernized view and have a lot of westernized values. And so that kind of clashes with each other. Anytime you cry or show weakness, you're expected to hide it. It's kind of like an embarrassment thing. Like, you don't want to show the people your weakness that you're crying. And so you go into the bathroom and you're just on the toilet seat, forcing yourself to stop crying so that you can rack up the courage to go outside and make a proper argument. Oftentimes what actually happens is I'll be in the bathroom for like half an hour by myself in the dark, and I won't stop crying and I don't know why, and I'm just getting frustrated at the fact that I'm not able to stop crying, and it's just this continuous cycle. And what ends up happening is my dad or my sister will have to come out and just be like, hey, just stop it. Like, it's gone on for too long. Just chill out. Stop crying. Eventually, I'll stop. I'll bite my tongue and I'll come out and then I'll just go straight to my room, and that'll be the end of the argument, and I know that I've lost and I've got to do whatever my mom said. That's a vivid memory that I have too many memories of. My mom and dad came to Canada as a very low income, not much money, and had to work from the ground up. So I'm really respectful of that of them, but it also means that they always and continuously to this day have a very survival mode mindset where they'll help fulfill my basic necessities, food, shelter, living, and to some degree education as well. They'll be more than willing to spend however many dollars it's required to make sure I get a good education. And beyond that, in terms of emotional support, psychological support, I don't talk to them about that. I do have a lot of kind of mental health problems that I talk to my friends a lot more about than I do with my own parents and my sister, in fact. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the dynamic that exists in our family household. Maybe it's just the relationship that I've developed with them. Maybe it's something with me. I'm not sure, but kind of how I see it. She always had a characteristic of being a Chinese mother, which meant that expectations of being a doctor or a lawyer, one of those highly regarded quote-unquote prestigious jobs. And so that was kind of drilled into me, but at the same time it was also like, you do what you like as long as it provides you with a steady income. Because she kind of knew that I was picking a job that wasn't that risky, that was safe, because that has been drilled into me. Like, I personally wouldn't do a very risky career move. She can kind of trust me on that. And so I've been a little bit free to pick my career. I remember when I was in Singapore, which was miles, miles away from Canada, and I didn't even need to tell my mother that I was traveling away from Singapore, but I did. So I had messaged her and I told her about that. So it's in odd moments when I don't even need to think about her, I feel the need to get her approval and to have her sign off on my decisions, even though I'm miles away. I think the only time that I've ever really thought about her as a person is when she's told me stories about her as a younger child. Because when she's a younger child, I begin to realize that, oh, she was in my shoes once, but at the same time, she was in a very different situation, growing up in a different household, in a different country, and had very different values back then. So even though that kind of puts this idea that she was a person back then, it's still hard to relate to her. So I don't think I've ever really thought of her as a person. My mother is really just my mother, and it's been very clearly defined by her. She makes that abundantly clear of like, hey, I'm your mother, you've got to listen to me, I'm wiser, I know a lot more, I've been through a lot more experiences. And because she's directly kind of told me to think about her as my mother, I've taken it that way. And then it kind of clashes with the Western media that you see, because a lot of the Western media portrays mothers as kind of best friends to the daughter or to the son or whatever. And I don't have that relationship, and I feel like I'm missing something, that maybe the proper relationship of a mother and daughter is something that I don't have. And that makes me jealous, sad, envious, regretful of how my relationship has blossomed with my mother, or for lack of a better term, has not really blossomed at all, and has kind of just remained stagnant as I grow older. If I had the opportunity to, let's say, pick again of who I'd want to be my mom, I don't think I would pick her. But that's something that I don't think too much about. It's something that I can't control. And so I live within the bounds of what I can't control. And so within those bounds, I find what I can be grateful for, and I focus on that. But it's those moments when I'm in the bathroom, locked up, it's completely dark, that I think back to the moments of, why is she my mom? Why do I feel this way? Am I supposed to feel this way?
Three, sheltered.
If I think back to my childhood, what I remember about her, it's like I have these bits and pieces of memories, and in all of them, she's very calm, very, very patient with me. She's always there. We do and we did a lot of things together, especially since it was just me and her. Since I'm 12, because my dad died. It wasn't just like a parent-child relationship. It developed into a partnership almost during the years. As I grew older, I realized how many similarities there are between us, and my fiancé even jokes like that I pulled another Gehanism. My family name is Gehan, so when I do something that's so characteristic of my family, which is me and my mom, he calls it a Gehanism. And I feel like it's, no, that's my thing. Or like, that has nothing to do with my mom or how she does things. But apparently from an outsider, it's so obvious that, yeah, I do a lot of things in the same way. For a long time, she's been kind of, I can say, everything. Like, she's been this central part in my world, and she still is, but I also have a partner now, and I'm grown up, even though sometimes I don't feel like I'm grown up, but she's played this role of being multiple people all at once for me. And I think one cause of that is that she kind of played both the role of mother and father. I had for years, so many years, a recurring nightmare that my mom would disappear, like something would happen to her, and I would just be alone. So I guess part of my identity got created around that, or around that fear, and also being so dependent on this one person. Yeah, she means a lot, like a lot, and I honestly cannot imagine how life would be without her. Even though it sounds like I faced hardship at an early age, the way she saw our lives and the way she created the home atmosphere and the way, like, she managed to create this life for us, that kind of let me enjoy a bit more the more naive childlike nature that we are given in life when we're kids. And I feel like I kind of had the luxury to extend that a bit. I didn't have to grow up too soon.
Four, difference.
I spent a lot of my childhood following my mom through the mall while she spent money our family didn't have, racking up credit card debt. Some reason I go to the mall every now and then, even though it makes me feel uncomfortable, but just as a way to feel close to her. She had an almost innocent, childlike quality to her, but only when she got older. When I was a kid, she was very big and scary and angry. She had that kind of energy that filled the entire room. She didn't have the capacity to relate to me. She saw me one-dimensionally how she wanted to see me. She would always ask me, "Are you working?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I'm working." And she'd be like, "That's good." And that was how deep it got sometimes. My mother did tell me about her life secrets and things that happened. Maybe too much information sometimes about her own life. But we didn't talk too much about what was important to me. One of her biggest character flaws is she talked incessantly. She couldn't read the room. She couldn't read other people's emotions. One time, we were staying with an elderly friend that I had known for just a short period of time. And my mother went into some kind of bipolar outburst. And when I told her that it would be nice if she would stop talking, she got really fiery, angry. And we were at this elderly woman's house, and she slammed the door in this apartment building, and it embarrassed me so much. That was one of the last ones we had. My mother committed suicide almost three years ago. And before that, I carried a grudge and an almost anger about her. And afterwards, I started to really feel something for her, some empathy that this person that seemed to be a certain way her whole life was really in a great deal of pain and mental disease. My mother was a very reactive woman, and every now and then I find myself being very reactive around my daughter, and it breaks my heart. I am anxious like my mom. I am depressed like my mom. But I'm working on it. That's the difference. She didn't know how to work on it, and she gave up.
5. Favorite.
I always think about my mom when I get up in the morning. I think about her, and I think about God. When I want to have a frank, honest conversation, I think about my mum. When I want that space to be vulnerable in, I always think about my mum. And when I'm utterly bereft and scared, I think about the comfort of my mum. And when I'm feeling lazy and I need to tidy up, I always think about my mum. My mum wanted me to be me, but tidier. I think quite early on, I sensed her vulnerabilities. I was being naughty at the time, and she explained what she needed from me. And I listened. And I think it was in that moment that I saw my mother as a person. I'm intense, tenacious, discerning, sensitive, passionate, resilient, expressive, and silly because of my mum. She's straight talking, astute, fun loving, and she has this sensitivity, felt like an inherent understanding of people and their needs. I feel like that's influenced my life. I understand through her the importance of doing your best even when no one's looking. And the enjoyment that comes from doing for others. Keeping people in mind. Keeping someone in mind. My mum's my favourite person to be with. I remember just wanting to be in close proximity to her. Always wanting to be around her. Drawn to her. We talked about her funeral, the celebrations, the drink and food, the party that we'd have to celebrate her life, but not actually how I'd cope. How I have to learn to live without her. How to deal with the shock of loss. Pain of grief. How to live a separate life. We didn't talk about that.
Six, self-sufficient.
I remember her saying, "We're going the adventure way," or "Here we go. Like, follow the leader, and off we go." And that's part of her spirit. She's a world traveler, and she's an avid hiker and outdoors woman. And when I am outside alone hiking, when I am walking the beach, and I bring my children through the wilderness on a trail I've never done before, or one I've done 100 times, can see glimpses of how my mother did that with us when we were growing up. And then I see where I am also doing that. And I go, "Ha, there she is. That's what we used to do, isn't it? Isn't that funny?" It's been coming more and more since I've had children of my own and raising them and really noticing my philosophy is different than the way I was raised. And when my mom would rather take them to like an amusement park or a movie, and I had to say pretty clearly and have a disagreement in my mind to say, "We're not watching movies. My family is not going to be watching media. They're gonna play on their own. They're going to find their own way. They're going to use their imagination and their toys and their space." So it wasn't even an argument, but it felt like a big, like, huge thing that I couldn't say to her, but that I did say to her, and then was met pretty peacefully and respectfully with, "Oh, right. Did you want to try a movie? No? You're still okay. Great. All right." So it's so funny how your mind would blow that into a big, 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 huge fight, but it's really just a discussion. At one point, I was having a very challenging time with my husband,
And to the point where I thought, wow, this might be over. This might be finishing. We might be at a place where we're not sure what to do next. And she said something very glib and quick about, yep, marriages are hard. And it was not what I needed in the moment. And so I kind of shut that off and don't share relationship struggles with my mom, because it doesn't feel like a place where any of that is held. It's too scary. It's too much. That's private kind of thing. Financially stable is probably what she wanted me to be, and independent and strong and adventurous. But independent was the thing she told us when we were teenagers. Like, she was very proud that we could go figure things out for ourselves and make our own dinner and buy our own clothes and make good choices and decide things independently. But I always wonder if we did that much too early. What I've never talked to my mother about is that when I was younger, I was pregnant, and that was so scary for me, and I could never, ever, ever tell her. And I've had moments where I've gotten pregnant again, and I've had children now, and I could not unburden myself with this story of being pregnant and choosing to have an abortion and choosing not to have that child. And I don't know if I ever will. I've tried so many times to get up the courage and the strength, because there's so much shame attached to it. Well, there was so much shame attached with it, and not good enough feeling, and how could you and why could you? As soon as the decision was made in myself, I was comfortable and I was sure of it, and I knew that that was the right thing to do for myself. But I've never spoken that out to her. Part of my mind thinks that she knows already. Maybe that's just helpful and gives myself a little break, that I assume that she does know, even though I couldn't tell her and didn't tell her.
Thank you so much for listening to Mother Mine. I'd like to say a huge thank you to all of our contributors. If you'd like to submit your thoughts about your mother, we'd love to hear from you. Just visit ourmothersourselves.com. That's ourmothersourselves.com, and click on Mother Mine for all of the details on how to participate. I'd like to say a huge thank you to each and every one of our Kickstarter backers. Your generous contributions have made Mother Mine possible, and I am so grateful. Mother Mine is created by me, Katie Semro, and produced in conjunction with Our Mothers Ourselves. When